Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church weekly sermon. We hope you enjoy this message by Jackie Nelson. For more information about this podcast or for other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
I believe it was Oprah Winfrey who said, "Lots of people want to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down." The last year or so has been really hard, and I think it's okay to just start there. 2020 and so far the first few months of 2021 have been far from easy. Individually, we've encountered loss, loneliness, lack, and a deep longing for something more. Collectively, we've experienced death, disappointment, uncertainty, and unrelenting pain. And as if those were not enough, locally, nationally, and internationally, we have been exposed to police brutality, political genocide, oppression, and unrest, and a pandemic that has completely shifted our worlds. For some of us, we've gotten by without much trouble or disruption. For others of us, the last year or so has overwhelmed us in ways that we believe no one will ever understand. And for many of us, the extended periods of isolation and the problems of our society have left us feeling alone. Sure, things are beginning to open back up. Our new normal is beginning to take shape. We're able to travel or gather in person and begin to step outside of those walls of isolation, but we'd be remiss not to also acknowledge that not everyone is able to participate. Not everyone feels comfortable engaging. Not everyone is around to join us. And even among those who can, this last year or so has had such an impact on us that we are left still feeling alone. And if we are honest, we are also afraid. Afraid maybe of what's to come, or afraid of missing out. Afraid of doing life without those who we have lost this past year. Afraid that we'll never fully recover from all that has taken place. Maybe someone listening this morning can relate. Maybe you're feeling all of that and more. Maybe this is the first time you've heard someone pause and acknowledge your pain amongst all of the celebration. And if you're out there, I want you to know that I see you with my heart and I understand. And friends, I believe the disciples spoken about in our text for today understand as well. Up to this point in John's gospel, Jesus has spent time with the disciples, taught them many things, performed miracles, and led them on their journey. Jesus has served the disciples, fed them, washed their feet, taught them to pray, and has prepared them for his departure. I imagine that just like us, the disciples are unsure of what to expect, are having difficulty processing what all this means, and that although they will still have each other, they are feeling alone. Noticing this and perhaps sensing their need for reassurance, Jesus does something in this passage that I believe teaches us as people of faith a few lessons in the midst of life's transitions. And instead of using this moment to sit the disciples down and to provide them with the lesson for the day, Jesus models for them, and he models for us what we can do and who we can count on when life's transitions overwhelm us. Jesus prays. And not only does Jesus pray, but he prays for them. And he does so loud enough that those around him can hear him. And thankfully, someone was a good eavesdropper and recorded this for us so that we might hear what some scholars call the real Lord's Prayer, too. Jesus lifted up to his eyes to the heaven and said, "I am praying for them." Now, over the last year, there has been one phrase in particular that has received a great deal of backlash. It's something we all say, and it's likely something we've heard others say to us as well. In times of loss, pain, grief, uncertainty, and conflict, in an attempt to express our condolences, our warm regards, or just to acknowledge the pain of the moment, we say, "My thoughts and my prayers are with you." And it seems all across social media platforms, in memes, in news articles, and even in speeches heard across our television screens that more and more people are growing tired of this phrase. People are beginning to question whether or not it is just another cliche that we throw out when we don't have anything else to say, and people are starting to wonder what it really means. And if you're on social media as much as I am, you've probably also seen a quote circulating that says, "When people say I'm praying for you, that's usually the prayer." In other words, maybe we say we're praying, but we aren't actually taking the time to pause and pray. You see, the frustration behind the cliche is more about urging us to do something. People are looking for action. Yes, on the one hand, they're looking for us to find different ways to support and advocate and reach out. And yes, we should. But on the other hand, I think people are challenging us to ask ourselves a question of integrity. When we say, "I'm praying for you," or when we say, "My thoughts and my prayers are with you," are we actually praying? Or have these just become our go-to phrases that we say, but never actually do? So friends, I ask each of us that question of integrity today. When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you saw something that pulled on your heartstrings, or you came across a sick or death notice and felt your heart break in some way for this world and actually paused to pray? When is the last time that you prayed for someone other than yourself? For some of us, the answer is every day. Some of us have cultivated a prayer life that we take as seriously as we do any other part of our everyday routine. But for others of us, we might not be able to answer that question. Yes, we care about the people around us. We keep people on our hearts and our minds, and we empathize with the pain of those around us. And yet, with all of the things happening in our own lives and with the tendency we all have to think about something in one moment and then forget about it in the next, we forget to pray. And I don't think this is because we don't want to or because we don't think that it's important, but if we're honest, maybe it's just because we don't always know what to say or what exactly we should pray for. But thank God we can turn to Scripture for the perfect example. We return again to the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. In a moment where Jesus is preparing the disciples for his departure and is reminding them of who he is and what is to come, and in that moment, Jesus lifts his eyes to heaven and begins to pray. In the midst of their conversation, and likely right at the moment in which they needed it most, Jesus pauses to pray. And so maybe that's our first lesson in the midst of life's transitions, that when we encounter those moments where someone or something is heavy on our hearts and minds, or we find ourselves wrapped up in conversations too heavy for words, that we just take a second and pray. That we fail to fall into the trap that others on social media have called us out for, that instead of just saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you," that we actually pray. You see, Jesus spends 26 verses of this scripture praying. And no, that does not mean that our prayers need to be 26 minutes, 26 sentences, or even 26 words, but it does mean that from time to time, and maybe more often than we do now, we ought to pray. But friends, then beyond that, right at the 9th verse, which is where our reading for this morning begins, Jesus says in prayer, "I am praying for them." And in the midst of life's transitions, I believe that that's the second lesson Jesus has for us today. to pray for someone else. Of these 26 verses, Jesus spends more than half of them interceding for or on behalf of the disciples, which says to me that no matter how long or short we pray, that we should consider calling someone else's name or situation when we pray. Maybe you have a friend who just lost a loved one, or a neighbor who you know is struggling in isolation. Maybe there is a member of our greater community who you know is unhoused and in need of shelter, or our neighbors across this world in Palestine being displaced, assaulted, and killed. Whether the prayer is for an individual or whether it is for systems of injustice to be overturned, Jesus teaches us here the importance of praying for those around us. And friends, as Jesus prays and as Jesus prays for the disciples, Jesus is also precise. Similar to the Lord's Prayer, which is found in other gospel accounts, Jesus is teaching us here how to pray, or perhaps even what we should pray for. Jesus prays for protection, for unity, for joy fulfilled, for sanctification and truth. And so maybe that's the third lesson that Jesus provides for us in the midst of life's transitions. The reminder that when we pray for others, we should also be specific, not perfect, but precise, praying perhaps for someone else to experience grace, protection, unity, and peace, praying that others would find themselves on the path towards truth, embracing and committing to all that Christ compels us to do and to be in a world full of divisiveness and pain, praying that more of us would join hands in unity, committed to making this world a better place for all. And then in the 20th verse of our reading this morning, Jesus reminds us that this prayer is not just for the disciples we read about, but that it's for us too. In that moment, this prayer becomes a prayer of inclusion, and what a timely reminder that is for us. In a world obsessed with divisiveness and oppressive systems, we are reminded that the gospel is one that makes space for all. Which means that if we proclaim this gospel and if we claim to be followers of Christ, our prayers and our actions must consider all. And so, friends, if you spent the last week wondering if we should be praying for the people of Palestine, yes, we should. If you've spent this week wondering if we should be praying for genocide, oppression, and unrest to be disrupted and ended, yes, we should. If you've wondered whether or not it is appropriate to pray for those people and situations that are outside of our purview, yes, it is. Friends, if you've spent this week or if you've spent any time wondering where exactly to focus your prayers, a really, really good recipe that I like to refer back to is this. If it breaks the heart of God, it ought to break ours too. And so if God is concerned about inclusion, justice, equality, and equity, then friends, we should be too. The world that Jesus speaks about in this passage and the world around us today will know only that we are Christians by our love. And that love, the gospel commands, must extend to all people, especially those who are among the least, the last, and the lost. Now, friends, I'm sure that if we were to peruse the Gospels together and pay attention to all that Jesus taught, we'd find many more lessons to consider in the midst of life's transitions. But today, we hold on to just a few. To pray for others, to be precise in our prayers, and then to be inclusive in our prayers. But I think what I hold on to the most this morning is the fact that Jesus offers this selfless prayer just one chapter before he is betrayed and arrested. In a moment where we can do nothing for him, Jesus does everything for us. Which means that in some of his final moments and in the midst of his own pain, he takes time to pray for the good of someone else. And in this, friends, I'm reminded of Aristotle's definitions of friendship. Friendship that Aristotle breaks down into three categories: friendships of pleasure, friendships of utility, and friendships of virtue. And it's in those friendships of virtue, or what he calls perfect friendships, where he says, true friends wish for the good of each other. Goodness being an enduring quality and therefore long-lasting. Beloved friends, what a friend we have in Jesus. A friendship grounded in goodness, one that is enduring and therefore long-lasting. One that decides over and over and over again to take that proverbial bus with us when the limo breaks down. One that considers us even when we don't always consider ourselves. One that echoes the sentiments of that infamous song from Toy Story, when the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed. You just remember what your old pal said, you've got a friend in me. You got troubles, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and see it through because you've got a friend in me. As the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You've got a friend in me. Yes, friends, Toy Story is for everybody. And during this Mental Health Awareness Month, and during a time where rates of depression, anxiety, and suicidality have increased, I think we could all use the reminder that even though we may feel lonely, having a friend in Jesus means we're never really alone. That Jesus is our perfect friend, and that he really, really means it when he says, you've got a friend in me. What a gift it is to know that Jesus is the kind of friend who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. That's the good news of the gospel for me, and I think that's the good news of our scripture for today, the reminder that regardless of who we are and what we've done, that friendship will always remain. And when it seems like all of our other friendships are fleeting, or while we are processing the loss of those we hold dear, or even while we are just trying to find our way through these frustrating moments, it is reassuring to be reminded that we have a friend who promises to never leave us or forsake us, who promises to know all there is to know about us and to still love us the same, and who invites us to join him in prayer, laying all of our needs and burdens before him as often as we need to. Friends, that's love. And as scripture reminds us, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, to live fully, to serve all, and then repeat.